VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been warned. We have been warned that unless we massively reduce our carbon emissions, this world is just going to cease to be. I mean, President Biden has pledged to reduce our carbon emissions by 50% of 2005 levels by the year 2030 and to get to zero emissions by the year 2050. I mean, the radical steps being taken will totally upend civilization as we know it. The United Nations Conference of the Parties, or COP26, has just come to a conclusion in Glasgow, Scotland. Over many years, the guest that we have with us today has extensively covered the UN, covered the goals of the UN, really to destroy national sovereignty, to provide for a great reset for global control. We're going to cover a lot of issues today as we report here from the COP26 recent conference here. We welcome back Alex Newman, an award-winning international freelance journalist. He's an author, researcher, educator, and consultant, senior editor for The New American, and contributes to other publications, co-authored several books, and like Deep State, the Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. He's the founder of Liberty Sentinel. Alex, thank you for being with us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on the program, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
So just before we get to COP26, and there is a connection here, I would like to bring to the attention of our listeners the nominee that Joe Biden has chosen for the office of the Comptroller of the Currency. She's a Cornell Law School professor, Saul Omarova, who advocated for this idea of not allowing people to have private bank accounts. I'm going to play the clip, Alex, and then have you comment on this, and then we'll find out where she is on climate control as well. Here we go.
Imagine what would it be like if instead of being just a public option for deposit banking, this would be actually the full transition. In other words, there will be no more private bank deposit accounts, and all of the deposit accounts will be held directly at the Fed. And there are very interesting implications from that thought experiment, for example, with the much more direct and proactive tools of monetary policy, like helicopter money, which is, considered radical, primarily because economists really do not know how to manage the issue of what will happen in the inflationary environment when the central bank needs to contract the supply of money. How is it politically feasible for the central bank to effectively take money away from people's accounts.
Alex, our ears better perk up with this. I mean, using the central bank to take money out of our accounts, stealing from the American public?
Yeah, and you know, effectively that is what central banking in the modern era does, whether they're directly taking money out of our bank accounts or whether they're stealing the value of our money by printing lots of new money and then spending it on goods and services that we actually have to produce. Effectively, they are taking our money. But I think this gives some real insight into the Biden administration. I mean, this is the kind of language that you would expect to hear from a Marxist revolutionary, from a Soviet agent that was trying to completely undermine our economy. And, you know, the central bank itself is actually a Marxist institution. It was actually Karl Marx who proposed that we have central banks with a monopoly on credit and currency. That's one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. In America, we've done kind of a more fascistic version of this where the central bank is technically owned by commercial banks. So it's kind of a fascist version of Marx's idea. But the fact that she's talking about ending private bank accounts and forcing us to all have our accounts with the Federal Reserve and then giving them total power over our savings to just revoke it whenever they feel like it, it gives you some real insight into the totalitarian mindset of these people. They want total control over every aspect of your life. And when you realize that your savings is really a function of your time, right? You had to work hard to accumulate those savings. You went to work, you woke up in the morning, you did your job, you got your paycheck. You realize that these people are stealing your life away from, right? You went to work for 8 hours each day to have some money to put into your savings, and these people are just talking about taking it away with the click of a button. that is absolutely grotesque. And yet this is the mindset of the people at the highest levels in the Biden administration.
Tom Cotton calls her an unhinged socialist and writes that she wrote a thesis titled Karl Marx's Economic Analysis and the Theory of Revolution while she studied at Moscow State University. But it's not only banking that she is after here with such radical views, but is also attacking oil, coal, and gas. And she is talking about that we want to bankrupt them. Here's this clip.
For certain troubled industries and firms that are in transitioning. And here what I'm thinking about is primarily coal industry and oil and gas industry. A lot of the smaller players in that industry are going to probably go bankrupt in short order. At least we want them to go bankrupt if we want to tackle climate change, right?
Okay, if we want to tackle climate change, we want them to go bankrupt. That's what she said, Alex.
Yes, it is. And again, this to me is evidence on its face. It's evidence that the Biden administration is waging war on our country. I mean, they're literally hiring a Soviet agent. This is a woman who was educated on a scholarship named after one of the most brutal and disgusting mass murderers of the 20th century, Vladimir Lenin. A full-blown Soviet operative, proud, doesn't even dare to denounce the Soviet Union and the horrific crimes that were committed, talking about bankrupting our oil and gas and coal industries. And notice, she doesn't say anything about Gazprom. She's talking about American businesses and American business owners who will be bankrupted. Does anybody really believe that Putin is going to shut down Gazprom, which brings in 50% of the foreign revenues coming into the Russian government's treasury? Of course not. Right? And so these people want to shut down our energy industry, but who's going to be the primary beneficiary? It's not going to result in less carbon emissions, of course, even if you believe the silly premise that CO2 is dangerous pollution, which it's not. What it's going to do is it's just going to make the entire Western world completely dependent on Putin, on the mass murdering dictatorship in Venezuela, the communist regime of Nicolas Maduro, formerly the regime of Hugo Chavez. What it does is it just makes us dependent on murderous dictatorships that are allied with Putin and company. So this is not about climate change. This is about destroying the United States. And it's exactly what you would expect a Soviet operative to do if they were put into a position of power in the United States. And here we are.
Yeah, here we are, because this radical has been nominated by Joe Biden to be the controller of the currency. Is any idea where this is in the process?
Well, it looks like if they can find a handful of Democrats to stop this nomination, it may be stopped. In fact, almost half of all the states own controllers of currency, and financial controllers and leading regulators have come out and called for this nomination to be pulled. So there's a real chance this one will get stopped. I think they were hoping to slip it through before anybody noticed, but people have now noticed, so that's going to be more difficult. But you know, the fact that this was even proposed, again, I think it shows you the mindset of the people in this administration. They knew this. I mean, this is not a surprise to the people who suggested this woman to senior Biden administration officials. They knew very well where she stood, and I think it fits perfectly with this pattern that we have seen. Always undermine and destroy America, always build up China and Russia and the enemies of the United States.
And, Alex, since the Biden administration came into being here in January, I mean, he was touted as being a moderate. Everything he has displayed shows everything but being a moderate. I mean, he is indeed a very radical socialist through these nominations, through his policies, and through his executive orders. I mean, it's just case after case after case.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it's just more evidence that the media has been lying. We all know that, I think. The media has been lying about everything for a very long time now. But this just goes to show you that. And it's, again, it's not like the media didn't know this. Joe Biden had a long voting record. He was a lot of these things I actually warned people about over a year ago, this whole Build Back Better. I went back and looked at a video we did in September of 2020 warning about the Build Back Better agenda, that this was a communist global agenda coming out of the United Nations, and we told you what they were going to do, and here they are on the verge of pushing it through Congress without any Republican support whatsoever. They're doing it as a budget bill so that Republicans can't even filibuster it. So none of this should be a surprise to anyone, but it is a surprise to the people who believed the media And I think that tells us very clearly how credible the media is.
Alex Newman, our guest here today from The New American. Alex, let's talk about COP26, the conference of the parties. And I'd like to begin comments here with the extreme hypocrisy of those attending with private jets just flying people in from all over the world. I mean, the carbon footprint, was it close to double from the last such conference?
Yeah, that's what the British government said. Yep, that the CO2 emissions associated with this conference were double what they were for the last one, which actually I was at the last one. That was the one in Madrid in Spain. And there it was the same thing. All these globalist billionaires and Hollywood celebrities and big-time politicians, they all show up in a private jet. And every time people say, hey, if you guys are so worried about CO2 emissions, why are you flying around in your private jets? And every time they say, oh, well, you know, it's very important that, you know, we all come here to do this. So it's, I think, more evidence of hypocrisy. And I think it's also more evidence that these people don't actually believe what they're telling us we should believe. Because if they believe this, if they believe that CO2 emissions were dangerous and were leading us toward a planetary crisis, why would they be so anxious to contribute more to that problem?
President Biden calls this, he refers to it as a climate crisis, but he calls it the most existential threat of our time. I mean, Alex, this threat is so severe, we understand he dozed off in the general meeting.
Yes, yeah, I saw some really funny memes. Hey, wake me when somebody solved the climate crisis.
No.
and it wasn't just him, it was a lot of these leading figures. But I think, you know, that's part of the issue that we're facing with Joe Biden, is that I think at this point there are very few people who really believe he is making these decisions. It's become very obvious that he has handlers. They're writing scripts for him to read on a teleprompter, and he's not even doing a very good job at reading those scripts. It's actually very sad. I mean, I really feel like this man probably deserves a nice home in an old folks' home where he can get the care that he needs. But I suspect that this is all by design. I don't believe Biden really knows what he's doing at this point anymore. But the people who are writing the scripts for him, the people who are handling policy and putting the words on his teleprompter, they know full well what they're doing. They know that CO2 is not a dangerous crisis. And again, you can tell that they know this because all these agreements, including this most recent one, allow China to continue increasing its CO2 emissions while we dismantle the U.S. economy. So there's no scenario under which these people actually believe this is going to do anything for the climate, even if they believed their own hypothesis about CO2 being dangerous.
No, okay, you mentioned China. Now, China was not present, were they?
Well, Xi Jinping did not show up in person, but he did send his minions there. Virtually every national government on the planet showed up, but there was a few governments. I shouldn't say a few. There was slightly less than half of governments did not send their head of state or head of government. China was one of those. I don't think that's because the Chinese don't take this seriously. In fact, I believe this whole climate charade is a critical component of their strategy to increase their role on the world stage and diminish the role of the United States on the world stage. But they really didn't need to have Xi Jinping come here because Biden and everybody else, they did all that the Chinese were hoping they would do. And in fact, the U.S. government and the Chinese government even came up with a separate side agreement building on a previous agreement that Obama and Xi Jinping had created, where, again, basically the United States is expected to continue dismantling its economy, continue slashing manufacturing and production here and shipping it all to China.
Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about the Conference of the Parties, COP26. It was the climate summit, and folks, it's my opinion, this summit and the outcome of the parties involved, they're the ones who are really endangering the world. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, President, author, and Creation Seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the ark big enough to carry all the animals that needed to be on board?
Most assuredly it was, Chris. The ark was even bigger than it needed to be. Carefully estimating how many different kinds of animals there were before the flood and the average size, we see that the ark was more than sufficient for the task. In fact, it probably could have carried many more animals. I suspect that it also could have carried many more humans, too. But they had all rejected God's offer to repent and get on board. They died in the flood. but there was room on board. Chris, we don't know all the details about the flood, but those that we do know fit very nicely into the Back to Genesis truth of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest today. We're talking about COP26, the Conference of the Parties, the Climate Summit, and that just wrapped up in Scotland, and with analysis of what's taken place there and what is intent even behind this. I'm not going to take time to play the audio clip. We were talking about Joe Biden falling asleep there, and friends, what's also interesting is that he apologized for former President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord, and Alex, basically he said that Americans have seen the Lord and now they believe in climate change.
Yeah, and of course that's not true. The polling data that has come out, even from some of the establishment polling agencies, has showed that Americans, at least a strong majority of Americans, reject this theory. Even Pew revealed this just a few years ago. They did a survey, and it was one of the more honest surveys. They asked Americans, do you believe in global warming? And slightly more than half said they did. And then they asked, do you believe that global warming is caused by humans? And some percentage did as well of that, and many, many did not believe global warming was caused by humans. And so what that revealed was that a strong majority of American voters did not believe in the hypothesis that man's emissions of CO2 are producing global warming. And I don't believe much has changed. Now, it's true they've become more effective at brainwashing our young people in public schools on this, but the young people still don't vote. The young people are still, most of them, not even eligible voters. And so they've got a pickle here in that they have to convince Americans that this is some crisis, and Americans are just not convinced.
Well, there's desperate pleas coming from world leaders, and to see that is amazing. As we mentioned, Joe Biden called it the existential threat leading up to this conference. Also, we have Prince Charles. He referred this COP26 being as, he compared it to the Last Chance Saloon. Let's listen to what he said.
COP26 begins in Glasgow tomorrow. Quite literally, it is the Last Chance Saloon. We must now translate fine words into still finer actions. And as the enormity of the climate challenge dominates people's conversations, from newsrooms to living rooms, and as the future of humanity and nature herself are at stake, it is surely time to set aside our differences and grasp this unique opportunity to launch a substantial green recovery by putting the global economy on a confident, sustainable trajectory and thus save our planet.
He said humanity and nature are at stake.
Yeah, and honestly, I've been going to these climate summits for well over a decade now, Jim, and I've heard rhetoric like that at every one of these summits. Every single time we're treated to a parade of politicians and celebrities and activists on this. This is the last chance to save humanity. We can never go back, and this is the only time that, they make all these silly predictions. Mm-hmm. And I've watched this again for 12 or 13 years now with a front row seat. I've been there in person. I've talked to these people, and every time, in 5 years, the Arctic ice cap is going to be gone completely. They just throw out all these silly predictions. And one of the things that I have done, because I think this is a really useful exercise for people who don't have, 10 years to study the science, who don't have a PhD in, earth sciences and things like this to be able to understand. I just went through their predictions over the last 50 or so years. And what I found is that they could not have been more wrong. If it was just chance, I mean, if you were just taking a guess, you'd figure you'd have maybe half right, half wrong, something close to that. And yet these people have been wrong on everything. This, in my view, shows a very strong, at least circumstantial evidence that that this is agenda-driven, phony predictions and not just, innocent mistakes. And we see this with the UN's climate models, too. By the last IPCC report that came out, they had developed 73 so-called climate models that were supposed to model the Earth's climate, which is a very complex thing. And every single one of those models massively overestimated the warming. And again, this suggests to me that there was an intent to deceive, not an honest attempt to discover the truth. So this is just more evidence of that. And to hear Prince Charles, I've heard it 1,000 times. This is the last chance to save humanity. They've been wrong every time. And if you think what humanity needs saving from is CO2, the gas of life, you really haven't been reading your Bible.
Alex, you have written an article, and you indicated that the goal of COP26 is to, quote, shackle humanity under a draconian new world climate regime. I know you're not exaggerating when you write. Flesh it out for us, if you would.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating, unfortunately, at all. They are hoping to use this climate issue, and it's very difficult for them because it's not even grounded in reality. Right now we see real serious evidence that the Earth may be heading into a period of very significant global cooling. And so it's not an easy sell. But what they're hoping is to exploit the hysteria that they're trying to build up around this issue as a pretext to fundamentally transform everything. And I'm talking about the economy. I'm talking about the way we live our lives, the educational systems. And I mean serious transformation. They want to use this to move us toward a technocratic form of government. And if you listen to what they're saying, they actually do say this, right? We must listen to the science. We have to trust the experts. So they want to move away from the model that we have had in this country of representative self-government, where we elect our leaders and our leaders are accountable to the rule of law. They want to move to an entirely different governing system where policy is determined by experts and scientists and technocrats. And what the people want really doesn't matter. What the Constitution says really doesn't matter. The policy must be determined by the experts and the science, quote unquote. You almost want to put a trademark after it. So we're talking about a very significant change. Of course, this is also laying the groundwork for a global system of government. The UN has now been pushing. The entire time I've been going to these UN summits, they have been pushing for the idea of global taxation. They want to convince humanity that the gas they exhale, CO2, is a dangerous, toxic pollution, and they want to implement global taxes and global regulation on anything that produces CO2. And so you won't hear them talking very often about the fact that every human being on Earth produces, just by breathing, an average of 2 pounds of CO2 per day. You won't hear them talk much about the fact that man's emissions of CO2 are a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. But what you will hear them saying is that CO2, they call it carbon because it sounds much more dramatic, even though we're carbon-based life forms. People think of carbon and they think of, like, you know, black smokestacks and things like this. So carbon is pollution. And when you understand the ramifications of that, that you are a source of carbon pollution and that everything you do is a source of carbon pollution, you get kind of a sense of how ambitious this agenda is. They want global controls over every element of your life, your business, your choices, your government, and they're using this climate scare as the pretext to bring in all these changes.
Well, what's interesting, the goal is zero emissions by the year 2050, 50% of 2005's emissions by the year 2030. And, Alex, you've said it more than once today, CO2 is essential.
It is absolutely essential. And, in fact, this is so obvious to anybody who's studied this, Jim. I had the opportunity to interview Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer, some years ago. He's a professor of physics at Princeton University. And some of these videos are up online. I encourage people to go watch them. He said, look, CO2 is absolutely essential. And, in fact, the Earth is starving for CO2 in the atmosphere right now. He said, I don't know what his religious views are, but he said the plants on this planet were designed, is the term he used. They were designed to live in an atmosphere with 4 to 5 times as much CO2 as our atmosphere currently has. That's why, for example, farmers with greenhouses pump CO2 into their greenhouses. It causes the plants to grow much better than they grow right now. So more CO2 in the atmosphere would be one of the greatest blessings for at least man's material well-being that we could imagine. It would cause our agriculture to drastically increase in productivity. It would mean more fruits, more vegetables, more forests, faster growth of our plants. This would be wonderful. And we have had many times in Earth's history, and everybody acknowledges this, where CO2 concentrations were far higher than they are today. Some scientists that I've spoken to have even argued that we're in a crisis, that CO2 levels are extremely low. And you know, if they believed all this, that CO2 was poison, we already have technology that pulls CO2 out of the atmosphere. I would say it would be a very bad idea to use it. Again, plants want more CO2 to be able to do photosynthesis, not less. But if we wanted to, if we really believed CO2 was so dangerous, we could suck it right out of the atmosphere. Not that it would be a good idea, but people need to understand CO2 is not pollution. If you think CO2 is pollution, you better be careful next time you crack open that soda, because the way they make soda bubbly is by pumping the water full of CO2. You literally exhale CO2 every time you breathe. And I'll say one more thing on this, Jim. The very same people that are telling us we need to trust the science and believe that CO2 is dangerous, toxic pollution are the very same people telling us we all need to put a thing on our face that forces us to breathe in CO2 levels that literally are dangerous. If you go to OSHA safety standards, what you'll find is that over 5,000 parts per million, actually CO2 can become dangerous. You get massively higher levels than that under your mask. The atmosphere right now has something close to 350, 400 parts per million, depending on what part of the planet you're in. We need much more CO2, not less, Jim.
You indicate that one of the main items on this agenda, that through COP26 and through the global climate change agenda here, really is to secure what you call massive behavior change, the behavior change of people around the world. Comment on that, if you would.
Yeah, and these actually are quotes that I've taken directly from the so-called experts that they want to rule over humanity. So the UK's chief science officer, and it was the UK that hosted this meeting in Glasgow, the UK government, said we need massive behavior changes. The chief scientist for Canada, same thing. We need massive changes in behavior. And by changes in behavior, they mean limits to freedom. They want to get rid of your car. They want to make you live in a very, very small house. They want to stop you from eating meat. They want to get rid of privately owned independent farms and ranches. And they want to move a sort of technocratic system of government, which is kind of a fusion of Marxism and technocracy. They say this. And so by behavior change, they mean much more than behavior change. They mean everything change. They want to completely restructure your economy, your life. They want us all to live, and they say this, right? It's not me saying this. I just interviewed Dr. Ben Carson a few days ago, the former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He talked about, you know, they want everybody into these packed cities, and that's their objective, where people can be surveilled, controlled, dictated to. So they do intend to dramatically change our behavior, but it's even more than that.
And when we think about the behavior aspect, too, with what's going on with the supply chain right now, I mean, what we see happening with this interruption, it's really not accidental, is it?
It's not accidental at all. They have planned this out. They have strategically engineered it. That should be obvious to everybody at this point. They're deliberately trying to make it worse. In fact, I warned about this in 2020. They were going to farmers and ranchers and telling them to kill all their animals and plow their crops under. Now we see them throwing monkey wrenches everywhere they can in the transportation system. We see what's going on in California. We see that we've got all these ships that can't offload their cargo. So this is all deliberate. It's strategic. They like to use crises, as Barack Hussein Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, put it. They want to use crises to accomplish things that they couldn't accomplish before, like massive restructurings of our economy and our lives.
Redistribution of wealth. Comment on that.
So redistribution of wealth has always been a primary element of this. Part of it is they need the leaders and the rulers of the world to be on board. And so, you know, how do you bring a third world kleptocratic government on board with this agenda? Well, you offer them large amounts of money. And so during the Paris Agreement negotiations, and I was in Paris for this, I watched the whole thing, again, front row seat, one of the big developments was they created a $100 billion per year slush fund. So American taxpayers, European taxpayers, Japanese, Canadian, Australian were expected to fund this $100 billion a year slush fund. They call it the Green Climate Fund. And they were supposed to basically be the wealth redistribution office. They take the money from Western taxpayers and they redistribute it to the governments of the third world, supposedly to do projects and things like this. Now they've doubled it in the latest agreement, Jim.
Friends, more information to come after the break. Alex Newman with us here today. We're reviewing COP26, the climate summit, and just held in Glasgow, Scotland. And folks, you're in the crosshairs. You and your way of life are in the crosshairs. Our nation, our sovereignty in the crosshairs. Private property, private bank accounts, all in the crosshairs. We'll be right back.
Nearly 90% of Christian children attend a public school. Filmmaker Colin Gunn, a homeschool father of seven, went on the field trip of a lifetime.
Driving an old school bus, Colin and his family traveled across the nation, exploring the origins and social impact of public school education to discover if children are morally and physically safe, if public schools are religiously neutral, and should Christians try to be salt and light in secular schools. 102 minutes in length, it's an impactful message. In the companion book, Indoctrination, some 18 writers come together to look at how the educational system is actively at work to alter your child's moral values, worldview, and religious beliefs. It explores the biblical principles regarding education and who is ultimately responsible for our children's future. The Indoctrination DVD is available for a donation of $22. The book is available for a donation of $18. Or you can obtain both for a donation of $35. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Alex Newman is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about COP26. That stands for Conference of the Parties, the 26th one. COP26, they had their climate summit, and it is, in my opinion, folks, endangering the world. We're speaking with Alex Newman here from thenewamerican.com. You can read about this and so many other issues at thenewamerican.com. Their magazine goes into much more depth on so many issues. Like what we discuss here on Crosstalk, and certainly this issue as a whole. Alex, we were talking about the redistribution of wealth being part of this agenda here, and that break caught you right in the middle of thoughts on that, so pick up where you left off.
Well, thank you, Jim. And you know, the wealth redistribution is a critical part of this. Actually, back in 2011, I did an article for The New American. Unfortunately, very few media organizations picked up on this. But WikiLeaks released, I'm sure some of your listeners remember, this huge trove of diplomatic cables from the U.S. State Department. And one of the things we learned was that the U.S. State Department and the European Union were using these massive bribes to third world governments to get them to play ball with this. Right, because you know, even third world leaders, they would like to enrich themselves, and one way they could do that, they know, is by letting their people raise their standard of living. That would give them more money that they could tax, and so on. And so, the U.S. government and the European Union were thinking, how do we bring these guys on board so that they'll keep their people in poverty? And they figured out, hey, we'll just give them the government's huge amounts of money. And so, we got some of the diplomatic cables that were going. Involving the Maldives, and they were actually offering billions and billions of dollars to the government of Maldives, which supposedly is going to be underwater soon, according to the climate catastrophist, in exchange for playing ball on this agenda. And one of the things that they said was, we'll build you a deep water port. And I thought, huh, that's interesting that a country about to sink under the waves needs a deep water port. Very strange. But what you find is that money is what makes this whole thing go around. And they need lots and lots of it to convince the governments of the world to play ball. And so they are looting the American people. They're looting the taxpayers of Europe and other countries and using that money to kind of bring everybody on board. So they're using that money to fund the non-governmental organizations that are making these outrageous demands and making the governments look moderate by comparison. They're using this money to bring the governments of Africa and Latin America on board with this agenda of keeping their people in poverty and starving them of energy in exchange for these huge bribes so that they can buy nicer palaces and stuff more of it into a Swiss bank account. So very, very nefarious. And when I talk about wealth redistribution, you know, the typical socialist claim is that they're going to redistribute it from the rich and give it to the poor. And yet it's almost the exact opposite here. They are redistributing it from the poor and the middle class in the United States and other developed nations, and they're redistributing it to the kleptocratic classes of the third world. And you see this very clearly, right? Nobody actually believes that the Rockefeller dynasty or George Soros is going to pay more in taxes to fund all these wealth redistribution schemes. They hide all their money in tax-exempt foundations. They're not going to pay any more taxes for this. It's the middle class in America and the poor who are going to be most affected by the inflation that are going to end up funding this wealth redistribution. And it's not going to go to your poor, hungry peasants in, you know, Central Asia or Central Africa. It's going to go to the leaders, to the governments that have kept those people in poverty.
One of the other things that happened with this is we're well familiar with the human rights abuses going on in China. And John Kerry was asked about this because he is such a big cheerleader, a big proponent of this, of putting these policies in place, you know, like the Paris Climate Accord and so forth. And he was asked about that. What about the human rights abuses in China? Because this whole, you know, everything coming from this summit is so pro-China and advocating for China. And basically, when it came to human rights abuses, I'm in a different lane here. You know, that's a different lane here. I'm so focused on global climate change and battling that issue that you know, I don't have time to worry about people's lives being taken, basically, in human rights abuses.
Yeah, and that's very typical of this climate movement. And, you know, it's ironic, the whole situation with China. I think China is the key that unlocks all of this, because when you see what's happening with China, you realize that even the elites that are peddling this climate change narrative don't believe it. Okay, so on the one hand, China gets praised unbelievably, right? At the UN summit that I was at in Madrid in 2019, China was the superstar, right? You had Xi Jinping had appeared just the year before at the World Economic Forum while Trump was president to give this speech about global cooperation and multilateralism. And all the globalists of the world, I mean, including supposedly liberal globalists, oh, he's such a true world leader and all this. And Trump, by contrast, is the dangerous one. And this was the tone in Madrid as well. China was the good one, and America and Trump were the bad ones.
Yep.
And yet, as I mentioned earlier, Jim, China, under all of these agreements, there's none of these agreements that envisions China actually reducing its CO2 emissions until a decade or more into the future. So they're very clearly playing us for fools here. And if they believed CO2 was bad, if they believed CO2 was dangerous, China would be the biggest villain. It's the largest emitter of CO2, and they emit far more CO2 per unit of output than the United States does. So we would want more production to shift to America, not less, and yet all these agreements shut down production here in the United States and shift it over to China.
I'd like to play another clip for you here, too, and this is former President Barack Obama, and we see such a polarization that has hit our nation under the Obama administration, we have not, I don't recall a time we've been more polarized, certainly not in our lifetime here, but this is the statement coming from former President Obama, who's telling people to stay angry. Let's listen to what he had to say.
So to all the young people out there, as well as those of you who consider yourselves young at heart, I want you to stay angry. I want you to stay frustrated. But channel that anger. Harness that frustration. Keep pushing harder and harder for more and more. Because that's what's required to meet this challenge. Gird yourself for a marathon, not a sprint. For solving a problem this big, this complex, and this important has never happened all at once.
Okay, so Alex, stay angry, you know, stay frustrated. I mean, this is in relation to COP26, and it sounds like he's giving another one of these speeches to spur what happened in Portland and Seattle and Chicago and other cities across the nation.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is, Jim. They are weaponizing our young people right now against our society, against our freedom, against our families, and against our churches as well. It's happening in the public school system. It's happening in the absurdities that pass as entertainment these days. And it's happening in the political arena, like with Obama's speech. They want these kids angry. They want them out destroying things. They want them to believe that their parents are idiots and that their parents are the ones responsible for this alleged crisis that's going to kill us all. And you see this attitude in young people now. On the gun control thing, those two spokespeople for the kids in South Florida, some of the language that they used about their parents' generation on TV cannot be repeated, but they said, you know, they need to get out the way. They don't know how to use a cuss word democracy. We are going to handle this. And that's the attitude they want these kids to have.
Wow.
They want them angry, and they want them actively working against our civilization and our freedom.
What is the outcome of COP26?
Well, they came up with a major agreement, and if you read the fake media, what you'll see is the same narrative that comes out of every one of these. Oh, well, you know, it was tough, and it was a compromise, and it's not going to save the world, but, you know, we made a little bit of progress, and we'll have to leave more progress to the next year. It's the same thing they say every year, and it's the same Marxist tactic that's being used with this Build Back Better bill. They demand something that's so outrageous, they know there's no chance they'll ever get it, right? The demand this time was, we have to phase out all fossil fuel production and use in the entire world, which, of course, would cause a decimation of the global population. The overwhelming majority of the planet would die very, very quickly if we were to get rid of all fossil fuel use. So they know that that's completely absurd. They know that's not going to happen. But against that backdrop, you say, hey, we are going to do X, Y, Z. We're going to double the size of this wealth redistribution fund. We're going to work on shutting down more coal-fired power plants in America. We're going to do X, Y, Z. Suddenly, that seems much less unreasonable compared to the silly demands that were made initially. So that's what we saw. We saw an agreement that wasn't what they had originally called for, but it moves them another step closer toward the goal. It takes much more money out of our pockets. It imposes many new regulations on the people of the world, and that's the direction that they're moving in. And next year, they'll make a little more progress, and then the year after that, they'll make a little more progress, and we will one day wake up and find ourselves living in a global technocracy where our voices are completely ignored and where our standard of living is drastically reduced and where our individual freedom will be just a memory.
And I find it very interesting that while COP26 is going on, meanwhile, back here at home, we've got, what is it, Spire Energy sending out a warning and an email to their customers about this upcoming Biden administration decision on a key pipeline that's going to lead to widespread blackouts. I mean, they have with some 1.7 million homes, Missouri, Alabama, Mississippi, as the feds review this STL pipeline that goes through the state of Michigan.
Yep. And if you look at what was in the infrastructure bill, and if you look at what is in this budget bill that they're coming up with, and you see the same Marxist strategy, right? They said, we need a $3.5 trillion Build Back Better bill. And they said, okay, well, we'll compromise. We'll have a more reasonable $1.85 trillion Build Back Better bill. Same exact scam that they're playing on us. And what you see in these bills is they are going to completely restructure our energy systems. They actually mandate in these bills that every state in the union come up with a plan to drastically reduce CO2 emissions. It's going to make us much more dependent on China. It's going to make what's going on in Germany and other countries that have moved toward all this silly renewable energy, it's going to make that happen here. As Obama put it, energy prices will necessarily skyrocket. We're seeing that now. We'll see much higher fuel prices, which means we'll see much higher prices for everything because things have to get from the ships and the farms to the stores. So it's going to be painful. And a lot of this is now coming through these bills, and more of it will be coming. And if people think what happened in Texas, where a bunch of people died from the blackouts because of all these dumb windmills, if they think that was bad, you have not seen anything yet. If you live in a cold area of the country, especially New England, the Northeast, be prepared for very, very painful energy bills this winter to keep your home heated if you're one of the fortunate ones.
Alex Newman with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Every word of God is true. Scripture says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And here's what I find, Alex, Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I was just reading through the book of Ecclesiastes the other day, and I came across this verse in Ecclesiastes 1:4. It says, one generation passes away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever.
That's right. God will decide what the climate does, not these people at these UN summits. You can take it to the bank.
Yeah. Again, our number here, 800-733-9829. Alex, if you would, just give us a word about The New American.
Well, The New American, in my view, is the best magazine on the planet. You can subscribe. Go to the website, thenewamerican.com. You'll get in-depth investigative articles on all these topics. Like I said, I usually go to these COP summits with The New American as a reporter. So if nothing else, go there, get the daily headlines. And if you see the value in it, then go ahead and subscribe to the print magazine. But that's thenewamerican.com.
And, friends, check it out. We're just seconds from the break, so we're going to wait until after the break here to take our calls. Have a couple open lines at 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Alex Newman is with us today, today as COP26 is just wrapped up, but their agenda has not. And we'll be discussing that further after the break. Back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Worldview Report. I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, it has come to the attention of some secular and conservative talk show hosts that Rick Warren is praising NIH employee Francis Collins. Francis reportedly now is going to be leaving the NIH, and according to news reports, he's been tied back to funding of the Communist Chinese Party lab Wuhan, where the virus pandemic started. What's very interesting is that now these conservative and some religious talk show hosts are very concerned that America's pastor, as he's been called, Rick Warren, has been promoting and praising someone like Francis Collins. Well, as many of you know, I've been warning about Rick Warren since the 2000s, early 2000s. Wrote about him in my book, Grave Influence, in 2009. My book in 2011, Religious Trojan Horse, 15, The Coming Religious Reich, and Marxianity in 2018. We warned you that this, America's pastor, was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America as we talk about the recent COP26 climate summit endangering the world. That's really what it does, folks. And though the summit is over, their agenda is not. And as Alex stated here in the last segment, it is going to further progress and progress and progress until we wake up and say, what happened to this world? Let's go to the phone lines here. Jeff is calling from Appleton, Wisconsin. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much, Alex and Jim. Just really appreciate the show. Just a quick thought. My nephew out in Portland, he's 40, but his brain through the just the government educational system is kind of turned to mush, and then he lives on the left coast. And so when we talk about global warming, he's just, yeah, we need just windmills and solar power. And I said, well, my bro, you know, God put so much coal and oil and gas in the earth for us to use it. And then as Alex so clearly says, our environment needs CO2. And my question is, Alex, do you have like a little section on one of your websites that just gives maybe like 7 bullet points that I could just kind of memorize and just have a good, solid feel? I know you talk about them now, but I'm not the greatest note taker, but if you just maybe have just a little system where I could just go, okay, these are the bullet points, okay, and I can stay on those.
Some sort of fact sheet, okay?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And actually, I've done 2 articles over the last probably 7 years looking at the failed predictions of the global warming movement, and I go into the UN's reports. I go into the actual statements made by key UN agencies and key U.S. government agencies about what we should expect to see. And what I found in my research is that every falsifiable prediction, these are predictions that can be checked, did they happen or did they not, right? Because a lot of times they won't give an end date or whatever, so we can't verify or not those. But every single falsifiable prediction I could find that they had made turned out to be wrong. You can find both of those articles at the New American. One is called Global Warming Industry Haunted by False Predictions, something like that. The other one is Embarrassing Climate Predictions, something like that. And then I just did a video within the last few weeks that appeared at the New American's YouTube page, and also you can find on our website, called Climate Alarmists Have Been Wrong About Everything. And so that's a very simple tool you can use, and you can just look there at the predictions they've made, and you'll see they've all been wrong. And so you don't need to be a climate scientist to know they've been wrong about everything.
You are awesome. Thank you, guys. Love you. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. So much. Let's go to Marie in Keene, New Hampshire. Hi, Marie. You're on the air. Marie, turn down the radio, please. Marie. Okay. We're going to put you back on hold, and we'll try and get your attention here again. Chris in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to share a comment. You know, this entire world system is run by Satan. He is the prince of the power of the air. And we know that those who follow Satan are just fulfilling what's already been written. These are people who God has given over to a reprobated mind. They've been debased. They deny the existence of God. And when you deny the existence of God and you have no conviction of sin, God said he will turn you over to a reprobated mind. So this is what we have here. We have a many, many, many hundreds, millions of people who have been given over to a reprobated mind. And the only ones that fall for this and follow this are also those who have been turned over.
Yeah, indeed. That's what we're seeing, Alex.
There's no question about it. And, you know, the Bible speaks clearly about how so many people, in fact, the majority of people will be deceived by Satan. And we see that very clearly. And I hope people understand there is really a spiritual component to this. So I'm glad the caller brought that up. In 2019, I went with two of my colleagues, both Christians, and, you know, we were praying, and we could all just feel the evil in this summit, right? These are not just well-intentioned people with bad ideas. At the lower levels, they are. But when you get to the top of the food chain, you realize, just like you said, their commander-in-chief is Satan. This is a diabolical agenda. It depends on lies. We know Satan is the father of lies. And that's the only way you can truly understand what's going on here. So thank you for the call.
Let's go to Scott in Cambridge, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yes. One of the four horsemen of the apocalypse is described as riding an ashen horse. Isn't the word that is translated ashen actually chloros or green? And could not this possibly be the genesis of the starvation and destruction caused by that particular horseman?
Let me just say, and we'll have Alex comment, but as our friend, the late Dr. Jimmy DeYoung would say, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Alex, your comment.
Yes, it is. There's no question about it. In fact, it's hard to ignore it at this point. It's so obvious all around us. As for that particular question about whether the horse is, I really can't say with any confidence. Maybe worth looking into and praying about. But it's very clear, as you pointed out, that these policies, if implemented, will lead to massive hunger, massive starvation, energy deprivation, people freezing to death in the winter. This is not a joke. As one of my favorite climate scientists, I actually used to be the chief climate science experts at NASA. He started calling these people climate Nazis because, as he pointed out, these policies, if implemented, would tend to kill millions of people with a disproportionate impact in the poorer countries of the world. We're talking life or death here. So thank you for the call, and I think people need to take it seriously.
Mac is our next caller. We lost our caller from New Hampshire, by the way. Mac in Midway, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes. Brother Jim, this is a really timely message now. I cannot get over just how much stuff is unfolding, even here in the panhandle of Florida. We have the frontline doctors down here telling everyone about the vaccine. And, you know, when we hear these things, we want to tell everyone we can about it. Most people, you know, some are open and some are not open. My own son's in Massachusetts, and I keep telling him to get out of there and move back down here because that cold weather is coming. And, you know, to get the utilities turned back on, they may very well tell us, well, show us proof of vaccination. And this stuff's all coming down. And they spoke of this stuff very, very eloquently at the stadium in Pensacola just this past Tuesday.
Yeah. Mac, thank you for the call. And we have just 30 seconds left here. But, Alex, this whole matter of COVID, everything else, certainly there's a tie-in all together to use these crises to bring about ultimately what they're looking for, this great reset. You and I have talked about that before as well.
Yep, you're exactly right. And many of these totalitarians actually were very pleased with the COVID lockdowns. They said we should do this now to save us from climate change. Yep. Look how great the environment is. So that's the world these people envision, where you cannot leave your house without permission. You cannot work. You cannot do anything without permission from your overlords. It is inhuman and evil, and I think we have an obligation to resist.
Alex Newman, our guest, thenewamerican.com is the website, thenewamerican.com. Alex, thanks for your availability. Thank you for your research, and thank you for helping to expose this agenda.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's always a pleasure, and God bless you.
And, friends, we would encourage you. People don't get this information other places. Take the link from Crosstalk. It's free. Just send it out to others so that they can be informed as well. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.